Chapter 60, Christ's Victory Over Unbelief.
While upon this earth the Son of God was the Son of Man, yet there were times when his divinity flashed forth. Thus it was when he said to the paralytic in Matthew 9:2, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, who began to reason not openly, but in their hearts, saying, "Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Read Mark 2:6 and Luke 5:21. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, 'Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house.'" Read Matthew 9, verses 4 to 6. The great medical missionary took away the sins of the paralytic, and then presented him to God as pardoned. And he gave him also physical healing. God had given his Son power to lay hold of the eternal throne. While Christ stood forth in his own personality, he reflected the luster of the position of honor that he had held within the enriching light of the eternal throne. On another occasion, Christ made the request, "Father, glorify thy name." And in answer there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." See John 12:28. If this voice did not move the impenitent, if the power that Christ manifested in his mighty miracles did not cause the Jews to believe, we should not be greatly surprised to find that men and women today are in danger through continual association with those who are incredulous of manifesting the same unbelief that the Jews manifested, and of developing the same perverted understanding. I am made unutterably sad as I consider what has been opened before me regarding the condition of things at Battle Creek and other centers of our work, where great light has been shining. In the past, when matters have been shown to be wrong, there has been a realization of the wrong, and this has been followed by confession, repentance, and thorough reformation. But of late, there have not been faithful stewards to repress the evils that needed to be repressed. Can we then be surprised that there is great spiritual blindness? Those engaged in the gospel ministry need to learn of Christ, his meekness and lowliness, and to be thoroughly converted that their lives may testify to a world dead in trespasses and sins that they have been born again. Medical missionary workers also need to be converted. When they are converted, their influence will be a power for good in the world. They will be willing to receive counsel and help from their brethren because they have been sanctified through the truth. Daily they will receive rich supplies of grace from heaven to impart to others. To every one of his appointed agencies, the Lord sends the message, "Take your position at your post of duty, and then stand firm for the right." To all, I am instructed to say, "Find your place. Receive not the fanciful sentiments of men who are not taught by God. Christ is waiting to give you insight into heavenly things, waiting to quicken your spiritual pulse to renewed activity. No longer subordinate the claims of future eternal interests to the common affairs of this life. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." See Matthew 6:24. Wake up, brethren, wake up! The breadth of gospel medical missionary work is not understood. The medical missionary work now called for is that outlined in the commission which Christ gave to his disciples just before his ascension. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth," he said. "Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Read Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. These words point out our field and our work. Our field is the world. Our work, the proclamation of the truths which Christ came to our world to proclaim. Men and women are to have an opportunity to gain a knowledge of present truth, an opportunity to know that Christ is their Savior, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Read John 3:16.